So you're saying the Spice Girls were the Dalai Lamas of the spiritual
Tell
musical
me what
universe?
You want, what you really, really want?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And those short skirts made me pay attention.
Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the number one Use Your Words Wisely comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is episode 252, Be Careful What You Wish For. And today we're coming at you semi-live from the Bear's Den in Conyers, Georgia. In that Bear's Den is the ever-ready Charles McFall.
Yeah, okay, here I am. Welcome. It's a weird morning now for some reason.
It's just not weird.
It is.
No.
We got talking about stuff.
We got doing other things, and we just, the time got away from it. There's nothing weird about it. We were just in our own moment, not the moment. We were not paying attention. Everything's fine.
It sucks. Today, we're talking about saying intentions. What happens? If you don't always start on time. You don't have everything ready. I don't know. But actually, we're expanding on the intentions thing that we did before.
One of the things I've been learning lately is just about, I'm trying to reshape how, instead of, and something that Charles always brings up to me when something comes up, I'm like, well, I don't want that to happen. He goes, what do you want to happen? It's always that. He's always throwing that in my face in a good way. And so I've been applying it to my life lately. Instead of, well, I don't want this, I don't want that. It's more about what do you want, and focusing on that.
Sure.
At the immediate reaction, the immediate benefit that I'm getting is a definite feel good. It's a definite positive surge.
Okay.
It's like, okay, this is what I want. So I'm focusing more on that and moving towards that instead of, well, I don't want to have this and I don't want to have that and I don't want to have this. And so what you're left with is this dark, heavy feeling of, well, this is how my life sucks.
Right.
So instead of that, it's like, okay, well, this is where my life can go. And if you've learned anything by listening to this show, you will get a lot farther for a lot longer if you pull towards a positive, what you really, really want, instead of pushing away from the negative, which is what you don't want. Those of you who are trying to lose weight, it's like, well, I just want to lose 50 pounds. Okay, and that's, I don't know, let's say 10 pounds. I want to lose 10 pounds. What happens usually is somebody will get to that 10, woohoo, I made it, I lost my 10 pounds, yay! Now I'm going to go have a cupcake. So, or they're just, look, cool, I made this, so I feel good about myself, but they stop trying. Instead of, I want to be in as the best physical shape I can possibly be in. Now, put in the word mental, put in the word spiritual.
Spiritual.
You want your best spiritual shape you can be in. So instead of, I don't want to be like this anymore, that this is what I want to be. You know, and when I stopped drinking 12 years ago, it wasn't so much, you know what, I don't want to drink anymore. It's more like I enjoy my sobriety.
And he hasn't had a drop of milk since.
Not a drop of milk. El leche es no bueno.
So you're saying the Spice Girls were the Dalai Lamas of the spiritual
Tell
musical
me what
universe.
You want, what you really, really want.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And those short skirts made me pay attention.
You know, when you brought it up in a certain way before, that triggered some story or something in my mind. And now, for some reason, this title is I'm foggy. I'm not remembering where I was in the moment when we first talked about it. Because it wasn't yesterday. It was actually pre-weekend for some reason this time. We ended up talking to each other. And, you know, there are definitely stories to go with this. And I know we've touched on it before. I think we actually used that title, Be Careful What You Wish For, or something like that. No?
No, that's one of the reasons we chose it. We may have touched on it or something.
So where did you – I thought you searched it, came with a graphic. I actually assumed you searched Success Freaks and came up with a good graphic.
No, I search when I'm looking for a graphic, I search the interwebs. Like, okay, usually anybody who follows us knows that we have a lot of album art. So when we work with Rock Girl on that, and when we do, we'll usually just put into Google, you know, what the title is and see what comes up in images and which one we like. I first put in for what was it? Use Your Words Wisely. And some things came up. And then I saw this graphic that I really, really liked for Be Careful What You Wish For, which is true because everything that you're saying out loud or everything that you're focusing on, you're kind of wishing for that. Even if you say, according to the law of attraction, even if you say, I don't want that, you're still focusing it. I mean, there was a there's that quote by Mother Teresa. She says, I will never be a member of an anti-war rally, but if you hold a rally for peace, I will do that. I will attend that. And you can't see a better example of this than what's happening in politics right now with the anti-Trump movement. So what's happening there? As soon as they started that, he started blowing up. So, we don't want Trump,
right.
Trump. And he really started blowing up then. So whatever you're focusing on, you're growing that thing.
You do realize you just sang the thong song, right? The Trump.
Well,
I don't know if you picked up on that, but that's in your psyche a little bit.
He does kind of stick in my craw a little bit, but, you know.
We're definitely going to have to get into what we believe very quickly in the next section, probably. We need to get into the idea of don't and the negative contractions that you really can't hear. I mean, it's evident in any child. Actually, let's talk about it real quick right now.
Yeah.
You tell a young child, you know, don't play in the mud. You know, all you really hear is something about mud.
Right.
Right.
Suddenly mud becomes very sexy.
You know, it's not just that, which is a little bit of don't tell me what to not do or, right. You know, blah, blah. There's you in a certain level, it's quite literal. You can't hear, can't. You know, your psyche yourself and the universe doesn't hear the doesn't.
Right.
You know, can't. So I remember when I was a young child, we pulled up to my cousin's house and apparently my mom said, don't get your clothes dirty because it had been raining. There's mud puddles everywhere. They set us loose with my cousins and all their friends in the neighborhood. We got into a mud fight. It was a blast. Cause I remember thinking, I was old enough to have this memory. I remember thinking, did my mom say anything about staying clean? I mean, I didn't use that exact phrasing. I didn't, you know, but I remember for once in my life at that age stopping to go, am I going to get in trouble for this? And I'm thinking, nope, they didn't say anything. Because what she had said was, according to her, quite literally, don't play in the mud, you know, something like that. And so we got into a big mud fight, as kids do. And I can now look back on that and go, oh, had she say, you better stay clean, stay away from the mud, you better come home clean, that would have stuck in my brain. And I've seen that evident in my children, is I'll say, there's gravel in my yard for where my parking space is. And my wife will try to say, don't play with the rocks. Well, you'll look up and they're playing in the rocks. But what I've always tried to do with them at all ages now, and when I say always, it's since it triggered a couple of years ago, I've been doing it since, is stay away from the rocks, stay out of the rocks. And if I tell them what I say, after they've been in the rocks, they'll go, stay out of the rocks. But if you say, don't play in the rocks, and you say, what I say after they've done it, I don't know.
Right.
You know, it's just gone.
So your kids are kind of like a model for using the law.
Oh, I think
attraction.
All kids are. They're just, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, yeah. Just Charles's kids. So if you want to check how you're doing, come over here to Conyers and figure it out. But no, it's like, imagine if you say, do this, don't do that. They, kids hear almost what the universe hears. If you're like, you're focusing on this. If you tell me don't play in the mud, it's like, oh, mud. That sounds like a good idea. I didn't have that idea before. But if you say, hey, go play in your room, go play in the yard over here, you know, that might work a little bit better. I mean, almost go back to all the way to Genesis in the beginning where, you know, you can eat of any tree here in the Garden of Eden. Just don't go to that one. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're going to hang out by this one here because that's the one that he told us about. And everything else is kind of vague.
I would honestly be very curious about phrasing in the original languages of because I think you're playing into a different principle there. I think possibly with that principle, it was that wasn't on my radar until you said something.
Yeah,
never had that thought till you said something.
Right.
Because I was thinking the other day, I'm definitely no biblical scholar, but I was thinking in all the words in red in the King James, you know, I don't think Jesus ever said don't. You know, I don't know, but of course that's a translation, Bob. But anyway, we're at that time. I want to say very quickly, if you're in the Georgia area and you can drive, Memorial Day weekend, May 28th, we're having our 5th or 6th or 7th annual, I don't know, it's been a while. We've been doing it for a while.
A couple of annuals
field trip. where we go to the Georgia Renaissance Festival. Of course, that's where Morton's day job is.
Southwest down 85.
Well, they can Google Atlanta. It.
I know, but it's in Fairburn. I'm helping them.
What if they're coming from South Georgia? You're not helping anybody.
Oh, my God. Exit 61 Google on 85. Georgia.
But we get out there at 10 a.m. or 10:30. You know, get there early for parking. I think gates open 10:30, somewhere in there. And Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, May 28th, come and join us. We'll be there all day hanging out.
All day.
All morning we'll be hanging out in between the acts that he does, the shows he does, and we'll have a blast. So we hope to see you there. We'll be back in just a moment.
Since 2011, Morton and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 252. Be careful what you wish for. In the last segment, we talked about how we don't use our don'ts, which is, I thought was really, really a fantastic and fun thing. Basically, don't use negative contractions was one of the things. Yeah. And we talked about
Phrase would be, even if you go negative, negative is not a bad thing. You could say no. I mean, the universe understands no. Oh, and there was a point I wanted to argue with you about a little bit in phrasing, but we'll get to that if it's important. But you can say no. It's not the negative. It's the can't, won't, because it's a can, right. Not, and it's the not part of can. What the phrasing would be, avoid negative contractions, or what?
Or use positive. Use the positive instead. That's the way we're going. I've been... Again, every once in a while, something will hit my radar. I'll be reading up, and I've just something has dropped into my lap about this, and it reminds me of Charles. And I've been putting it into action lately. It's like, what do I want? Certain people have approached us at the festival as far as, you know, maybe wanting to do some TV or movie work. Other things are kind of dropping in my lap with the Warp podcast that I do along the same lines. So it's almost like as I begin using this, focusing on what I really want, the universe is kind of giving me positive reinforcement going, yes, this is how it works. Yes, this is how it works. Also, the other thing is what you're not going to like beat the dead horse about it either. You're not going to go, I really want this. I really want this. I really want this. You think about what you want. You have that positive emotion about what you want, and then you let it go. If it comes your way, it does. If it doesn't, then that's fine too. You're still affecting how you are in the now. You're affecting your personal life experience. Sure. And it's up to you what you're going to allow in this life. You know, what do you want? You know, for me, I've had plenty of time over this past year and years past as well, but also over this past year, I have plenty of time of thinking about what I don't want. And is that getting me anywhere? No, it kind of gets me just down and grumpy. And honestly, in the last week or so, I've been really kind of up about stuff. Cool, this is happening. When I go on stage, even though it's a slow day and there may not be many people there, what do I want? Well, I want to have a good time. Instead of worrying about, I want to make this much money and I want to run, run, run. It's like, no, ultimately, I want to be happy. I want to have a good time. And I found that even in these hot situations, I am having that kind of that experience. So it is affecting me in a positive way. And it's not easy training your brain that way. And I know you're trying to speak, so I'm going to let you do it now.
I don't know. There, in the setup of this, we talked, I guess, on Thursday or Friday of last week for some reason, which is earlier for us to pitch something for the show. I could have sworn you said you were going through things. Maybe that's what you're just talking about now. Of that, and I said, well, we've done this show before, but we definitely haven't done it in a while. We haven't done it in a while about saying what you want, and we've got new
what
things.
You really, really
something
want?
Triggered, yeah, something triggered. And then I don't know what, but I want to hear what I want out of this show is updates, of course, and like you're giving now,
right?
About how you're changing what you think about and what you want, but also possibly how we. Well, I would love to hear from us, and I've got some stories on deck about we say we want something, and then it kind of came about, and we go, oh, that's not, what did I say? You know, it's like the whole thing of somebody corrects you, like, why, what did I say?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. I'd love to hear that.
Let me go with. I am going through stuff right now, but oddly enough, it's the positive, the potential for positive stuff that I'm going through. You know, the super secret project that I'm working on. Again, I had another thing thrown at me with. I had a couple of emails. One was like a little design of the project. Okay, cool. And then the second email was like, this is going to cost tons of money if you try to do this. Right. Here's another idea completely different than what you were talking about. Normally, I'd get all freaked out. I'd be like, no, it's not what I want. I'm single-minded on this is my vision. This is what I want.
Sure.
However, this time, I was like, wait a minute.
Honestly?
This is potentially something better.
Yeah.
And it takes away all the stuff that I was stressed about with the original project. Now, I'm still me. I'm not completely letting go of the original project. You know?
Yeah.
But this new one,
you're
like,
a spiritual hoarder. You're a project hoarder.
I am a spiritual hoarder. So this technique has helped me go, well, we're moving into another direction. Am I okay with that? Yes. Is there potentially more return on my investment for this and less of an investment? Yes. Then that would be better now, wouldn't it? Yes. So feel good about it and just be open to this possibility, even though it's different than what you thought.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like you use GPS and you're going somewhere. And you can definitely relate to this, but anybody who's taking a vacation and use GPS or just gone somewhere and getting behind an accident, Waze is one of the best apps out there. I like it. Interestingly enough, little shiny side note for everybody, the two major GPS softwares for your phone is Google Maps and Waze. Everybody knows Apple Maps sucks. It's bad. And it is. I'm an Apple user, and that program is bad. But Google Maps, Waze is so much better. Here's the interesting note. Google owns Waze. They bought it a year or two ago, and they still treat it as a separate company. It's just handled differently. It's weird. It's Google Maps is done like corporately, and it's okay. It's decent, and it does. But Waze is done as crowdsourcing. And that just kind of goes to show you when you cooperate with people what can happen. But on Waze, it'll tell you there's an accident coming up. You may want to reroute, and it'll get you around traffic and those kind of things. So what you're talking about with what's going on in your life sounds like that. You're trying to head to your next destination. I know you don't exactly do it this way, but you're going from Georgia. No, you do it this way. Here, you go from Arizona to Georgia. You've done it for so many years.
Right.
You pretty much know your route. However, things change. You know, construction comes up, those kind of things. And in old days, when you relied on your memory and something changed, you had to stop, buy a map, figure things out. Maybe you had a map, an older one, whatever. It threw you off your plan. You got stuck for a little bit.
Yeah.
But now, Waze is like if you're tapped into the universe and go, I want to get to Georgia. What do you want? I want to get there. I want to get there quickly, happily, blah, blah. And Waze goes, all right, we're going to detour you. And you're like, why are you taking me off this road? This is my road. I know this road. I know where I'm going. But you follow it, even with hesitancy. And then you go, oh, I didn't realize there's a huge wreck over here.
Right.
Or there was construction that I had no way of knowing was going on. So it took me around all that. It definitely sounds like this email that you got is that going, hey, of course you can keep going the way you think you should go. And you're going to, and you could be successful. You might spend a ton of money doing it.
Right.
And you might make a ton of money, or you can just kind of detour. And you're like, oh, what feels good? You know, the detour.
Yeah, and that's which feels lighter. Definitely the detour felt lighter.
Yeah.
You know, I even talked to Christy about it, and she was like, yeah, this seems possible. So I'm throwing it at my investor, who are very, very important, and unfortunately in Mexico right now. So I have to wait until they come back to go, okay, this seems like an idea. But it is something I am considering. And now I hold both, you know, both projects. When I think about them, I think it's like that Peter Pan thing. Think happy thoughts, and then you can fly. And it sounds kind of goofy, but if it works, I don't care. I don't care. Same thing is with prayer. You know, God, please don't do this, and please don't do this, and please don't do this. Isn't going to really work. And then you have God sitting there going, well, fine, but what do you want?
Yeah.
Well, I want this if it's okay. Okay, then ask for it.
So. Again, that's a children thing. You know, my kids, I'm hungry. All right, what do you want? All right, quit wasting my time.
Right. I don't want liver. We don't have liver. Yeah. Oh, I don't want spinach. Yeah. All right. I wasn't going to give you spinach. What do you want? Well, I don't want. Okay.
I want more
now
money.
Now you're annoying me. You're not getting anything else.
All right. So we're going to hit the break here, and you get to hear from our awesome friends over at IRUSA.org. And if you'd like to hear more of Mornant and how he's changing the world for the better, go to IRUSA.org/podcasts with an S.
With an S, plural.
Yeah, I know, podcasts.
Multiple.
Yeah, and him and Dammit Carl do a great job on the Warp, the What a Relief podcast.
The Warp Tour.
So, yeah, you can use that as a trademark.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go in between, and we'll be back in just a minute.
The people of many Eastern African countries are used to dealing with hot, dry weather. But sometimes, weather comes along that is just too much. Now is one of those times. Parts of Africa are facing the worst droughts in decades. While some areas are getting flooded with too much rain, livelihoods are being destroyed. Islamic Relief's local teams are on the ground, ready to deliver the emergency relief to these communities. Will you give them something to deliver?
Welcome back.
Good.
Success Freaks. Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 252. Be careful what you wish for. You may get it, and hey, an ornery host
you
or co-host.
You try to touch my marker time. I'm just
I did. Just before the break ended, I said marker time, and Charles always says it, and he's very territorial about that. And apparently I'm very territorial about my welcome back. So
yeah, you totally. You're like, what? What gives, man?
What?
That was awesome.
Madre de Dios.
So you said something in the opening that
I
remembered. Yeah, but this one I wanted to discuss because a lot of people... It's too easy to go the fear route with your words. It is way too easy to go with the fear route. And honestly, I didn't feel it. I thought it, which is a huge difference. But when I saw the title proposed for this episode, I thought that's a fear phrase. But I didn't feel like it was a fear phrase.
Well, what do you think about the – excuse me for jumping in, but what do you think about the whole – well, you know, I just got to be prepared for the worst because otherwise I'll be let down. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just bull.
Oh,
I'm right, sorry, but it is. So, you know fear-mongering,
holding
on to that fear so that, I got to be ready for the worst. Then all you are, your whole life is ready for the worst.
But
and
you
looking
didn't
for
say
it.
That, so I'm not picking at that.
No, I know, right, but it's just, sorry, that what you said hit that in me.
Because you, from time to time, you do things out of fear. It bothers you about yourself, and that's going to be a hot button.
It's true.
We do that. I have a thing with weakness. You know, if And that's something I'm teaching my kids, but I won't go into huge details, but basically, if I feel weak or if I feel like I'm doing something out of weakness, it really gets me mad. And I spent a lot of my life doing that. So that's my, just like fear is yours, weakness is mine. They're very go hand in hand.
That's like when you scare a guy friend of yours. Yeah, you scare him. And really girly scare him.
Oh, God,
they will get
awesome.
Really pissed off.
I won't.
Right
I laugh my butt off, though. I am different that way, but I'll scream like a girl in certain situations, and it cracks me up. Of course, when I see somebody else scream like a girl, some other guy, it cracks me up.
Right.
So, but no, you said, use the words, be careful what you say out loud and every day. It's too easy to go, I think I know where you're going with that, but the words were be careful.
Right.
Because you could, essentially you're inferring, you didn't say because you can say the wrong thing, but you were inferring that. And I've had other people who talk about words, who are learning how to use their words. Oh, I don't even want to say that. I don't even want to put that out there. And I'm like, no, stop. Just stop. Just shh. It's okay. The universe is intelligent. As a parent, I'm intelligent. So even though my sons and daughters say things certain ways, especially the 4-year-old and the now 3-year-old. Zoe just had a birthday last week. So they don't know other ways to phrase things sometimes. I can translate. I can understand their meaning because Lord Jesus, we're in this house. Lord Jesus, we ain't got time for that.
Help me, please.
It's like if the universe, if God, if your spouse, if your partner really took everything out of your mouth literally, how bad a life would you have?
Right.
Because there's so many miscommunications and things.
Just as you can't focus on all the bad and stay focused on that and that's all you think your life is. You also can't stick your head in the ground going, no, don't tell me any bad stuff. I can't say anything bad.
Right.
Because then the universe is going to poop on me. Then you're like dealing from fear anyways.
Yeah.
You know, you're dealing out of a situation of fear. Instead of going, no, I'm focusing on this so I can get there. I'm not blind to the crap happening around me, and I'm going to pay attention and be able to work my way through it. You know, I'm trying to get me to the good stuff. But if you're so fear laden that you're like, no, I can't even talk about this, otherwise it'll happen to me. Then you're moving from a place.
Oh,
of,
yeah, that kills me. Yeah. Okay, believe you said that. It's like, you know, so I wanted to. That's exactly where I wanted to go in this section. Was you can say things out loud. You can say I'm having a bad day. Does that make it so? No. Does that make it happen? No. Sometimes you just have to vent and say, you know, I'm a.
Yeah, but
and there are people who
won't. Pick yourself up and move away from that. You know, let yourself have the pity party. Let yourself have the pity party where you're like, oh, I'm having a bad day. Now, if you're stuck there in that room, then that's all you get. If, however, you're able to go,
don't you think?
Yeah. If you just say, I'm having a bad day and go, okay, I took my hits, took my lumps. What do I want? That's when Charles would say that to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, this has happened. I don't want this to happen anymore. Well, what do you want? Yeah. Now that we've heard that, let's move on. What do you want? Well, I want this. Cool. Let's work towards this. If you're stuck looking at the bad, let's say you're in one room and it's a bad day room and you are stuck looking around going, this room really sucks. If you don't look out the door, walk out the door with your eyes in front of you, you're never going to get out of the room. If you keep looking back, you can look back once in a while going, I don't want that room. I don't like that room. I don't go back to that room. But keep looking to where you're going, because if you keep looking back, you're going to run into stuff. You're going to trip over the toys the kids left in your way. So fine. Express that you're having a bad day, but then what do you want? What do you want? And move towards that.
Yeah, and you know, you can say things, and it is the energy on it. There's times when I'm trying to teach my children things about safety, and they're doing something. I won't tell you the exact phrase I use, but I say physics is a bad thing. You're pointing at physics will get you. And I told, there'll be times when I tell my kids, you're going to get hurt. And I think about it, it catches my brain. It's like, well, no, I'm not. It's a different energy. My parents used to always go, you're going to get hurt. And it was this energy, and I would get hurt. And I found myself saying that phrase to them. And the real meaning behind it is if you don't learn and change what you're doing, you're going to get hurt. And I just say the last part of it. If you have to change your ways. And I realize, but the energy I'm putting on it is all that good stuff. Is no change.
What if
change.
You say, what
do
if
something
you say,
different?
Be careful. Keep yourself safe.
You could say that, yeah.
Or, you know, you don't even have to say only that. Just sprinkle it in there.
I don't think you have to, though. And I agree, yes, that is just as fine. But once I analyzed it for myself, it was the energy I put on it was exactly what you said. And I'm like, okay. So what you said in the beginning was be careful what you say. And that's true. You really have to be clear. And we have a little time because I want to get to this in the next section.
Well, this is you want to miss that question now?
Well, I don't know if we have time to deal with that question now. I think we can do it in the next section.
Right. Whatever.
So we'll do that. We got a question that we're going to ask. So stay tuned. It's been asked in the chat room. We'll answer it for sure. But we're swinging towards the mark. I'm not sure if I even put 10 minutes on the clock. To be honest, it may be 9. Who knows? We might come up short on this, but that's not the point. Here's the thing: even in the positive. If you ask for things, it's all about your energy. More than I could be like, hey, man, can I have some money? You're like, sure. And you do it. I'm like, hey, dude, things aren't going well. I can't come out with you. We're going to have to change the show. We're going to have to. And you're like, no, what's going on, man? What's going on? And you'll tell there's something different. Or you, and if I tell you, if I just insist that even though you know something's going on, if I tell you, oh, no, it's just money. You're like, okay, here's the money, but this doesn't feel right. You'll give me what I asked for.
Right.
Sometimes it's that way. When we moved into this house, we were very frustrated. We were feeling the clock on the bankruptcy. Once we made that decision to get out of the house, it was like a stone around our neck. We had to get out of that house. Now, we had plenty of time. We ultimately had a good 6 months more than we took to get out of the house. But it was like, okay, it's time to go. We have to get out. And we were trying to find the right place to live. And my wife finally said what she wanted. Because we were having problems. Because we're in bankruptcy, nobody wanted to talk to us.
Right.
Because it was just stupid. We'll get in the in-between. There's a very a very bad mindset out there. An uneducated, that's the word I'm looking for, an uneducated mindset about bankruptcy out there. So people wouldn't talk to us. They didn't want us to rent their houses from them. And it's mostly businesses that ran it. But so my wife said, man, I just want somebody who understands we're going to give them a check. That's all I want. I just want somebody to understand we're going to give them a check. We got that. We got a guy who had us fill up an application just as form, but we kind of knew the people who used to live here, and they said, yeah, you should rent to these people, And I just went and talked to him. He's a good old boy. And we did a good old boy handshake. And, yeah, I filled out the application just because. But I told him I'm in the bankruptcy. And he's like, no. He said, are you going to make the payments? I'm like, yeah. I got people who can back me up if I don't have the money and I've got a job and this and that. He goes, all right, you can move in on such and such a day. It was like that.
Wow.
Here, flash forward to now to where our lease came up for renewal, and he didn't renew it. He's just like, yeah, you know, you're good. And I'm like, no, my wife would really like to have the paperwork. And he's like, okay, I'll print out some more. And it just kind of went away. He just wants his check. He's just a good old boy. He doesn't want to go through the – we're not doing – actually, we're really good tenants. He doesn't want to kick us out. And my wife's frustrated that we don't have this level of what she wants to operate.
It's a level of security, too.
Right. Well, not in Georgia. In Georgia, there's basically, even if you don't renew, you're operating on the same old one.
Oh, really?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. But for her, it was she wanted that more professional involvement. She wanted to be able to have him come by and inspect the house every once in a while.
But the professional involvement was
not what she asked for.
Yeah.
And I brought that up.
Not just that, but wasn't willing to play with her.
That's true. Well, that's true, too. But I said, what you asked for, baby, was I want somebody who will understand, will pay, and they'll leave us alone. We got exactly what you asked for. Because the energy she put on, she wanted that exact thing. And we got that exact thing. And she's actually coming around going, I know, it's fine. So anyway, we've got a question to answer in the last one. But that I think that was a good wrap up,
yeah,
all of us, on how you say things. It's not necessarily how you say it or what you say, but it is the energy and what you believe about it. We'll be back with more coming up next.
What happens when a self-help comedian and a social media manager both have a passion for podcasting and come together to support a common cause? A podcast is born. So, what exactly is the Water Relief Podcast? Each week, BC Dodge and R. Morton Mott from the Success Freaks Podcast sit down with staff members and volunteers to talk about IRUSA efforts in the United States and abroad. So, how can you listen to the podcast? Download from IRUSA.org. You can also find it on Blueberry.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Subscribe and download the Water Relief Podcast today.
Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 252. Be careful what you wish for. And we actually have a listener question that we had in the last segment, but we were so busy talking about what we wanted to talk about,
yep,
that now we're going to do it in this segment. So, Charles, you want to read that?
Mike the second. Mike says, how do you guys feel about considering the negative or considering possible problems or trying to see issues before they happen in order to be prepared to deal with them? Well, you know my answer from how we plan the conference and everything else. What's your answer?
My answer is that I was taking care of something on my computer, and I'd like to hear the question again.
Well, read it. Read it real quick.
So talk to them while I do that.
All right, I will. So my answer is absolutely I look for problems. I look for solutions. That's what I look for. What do we need to happen? What can come up? I never think of it as a bad thing. I just think of it as it is.
This is just part of that favorite word that Charles loves that I use is due diligence.
Thanks, Mike.
There's nothing that, you know, when you're chasing your dreams or doing anything, you're getting into any kind of situation, especially something that involves a contract or otherwise, you want to check and see, all right, what is the advantage of me doing this? What's the disadvantage of me doing this? If I want to make a big move, hey, you know what? I don't want to do Tortuga Twins renaissancing anymore. I want to become a gas station attendant because that's been my lifelong dream. No disparaging on that, but what's the good and what's the bad of that? Am I going to be really happy? Am I really unhappy where I'm at? Then even if the money takes a dive, maybe that's where I want to go. However, you're just weighing all the possibilities. Am I understanding this, you know, considering the negative? Yeah, I am understanding this. It's just you're not going to dwell on it. It's what do you want? Now, there's another one from this book, What If It All Turns Out Right, is instead of, they call it What If Downing. What we normally do is what if this happens and what if this happens and what if I do this new project or this new business or, you know, what if I lose all my money or what if I don't know what I'm doing? Okay, that's one way of going. The other way is what if upping. What if it all goes right? Start thinking about that. What is the possibility of this? Because if all you ever think about is the negative, you're not going to move. The percentage of people that move and take one step towards try one time this dream you have, this idea you have, the percentage is less than 1%. Most people will not try even once.
God, I've tried so many times. It's so sad.
What, with podcasting?
With podcasting, with music. I've chased my dreams plenty. You know, Mike, I don't necessarily think of the negative. I think of the what is. And things can, bumps come in the road. Things happen. It's called navigating. And when we went to plan the Success Freaks conference, we were maybe even a year away from it. And I'm going, okay, we're going to need this tech crew. We're going to need this. We're going to need that. And everybody on the team then was like, why are you getting that far ahead? Because we can deal with it now. And we know that as we get closer, more and more things to deal with come up. So we need to deal with what we can now.
You always
deal with, I mean, plan for, situate, schedule, whatever.
You always want to work with somebody like Charles. You always want to be that. You don't always want to work with somebody who is like me going, rah, rah, rah. Because if you can get it all done ahead of time and it's and then you're just kind of coasting, then when the other problems that you haven't foreseen crop up, then you have the energy and the time to deal with those. If, however, you're like, here's my example. Today, I was just like, okay, I know how much time it's going to take me to get there. Everything's fine. I've got all my stuff set down. I'm going to have my coffee. I'm going to look at my, you know, look on my phone. I'm going to sit outside and enjoy, you know, look at my Facebook, enjoy the outside and everything. Okay, time to go. It's exactly time to go. I should have maybe gotten up a couple of minutes early, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go over, I'm going to grab my stuff and I'm load everything up and ready to go and grab my keys. Where's my keys?
You've never done this, have you?
Where's my keys? My keys that are always in this one spot. Where's my keys? Did my girlfriend take my keys? Did she drive last night? I don't know. So I go back into the room and I'm looking all around. I'm in the dark room. Okay, now I got to turn on some lights. Where's her purse? Where's her purse? Can't find her purse. Her purse that is always in the room. It's not there. Okay. So I look around, look around, look around. It's not here. It's not here. Go out to the kitchen. I'm like, oh, there's her purse. Okay, go into her purse. No keys. What the hell? I turn around and on the other side of the island, the kitchen island, are my keys, because when we came in from the grocery store and I set down my bags, I set down the keys and put away the groceries. So it was me. Mm-hmm. But the thing was...
No, wait. This is a story you read, right? This is not a personal thing.
Oh, no. This is a personal... This is a personal today thing. That is
today, this morning?
Yes, sir. Hot off the presses.
Thank you. I left
13 minutes late. However, because I've learned that traveling here, even though my GPS says it's going to take this long, I gained time back. I even had time to stop for gas and you know, and then... Head on my merry way. So it's better to take care of all those things that you can think of, because you don't know what's going to crop up. Now, this, if you were just looking at this and weighing about it and just, oh, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about this, that's one thing. No, you shouldn't do that. But if you're considering something and you're like, okay, what's some of the things that we might have to deal with? Okay, this. Okay, now I'm going to be either aware of those things or put in contingency so I don't have to, you know, so it doesn't freak me out. That's one thing. So, yeah.
I love this idea along those lines, because of how you think, how you feel, how you run. Because me, I'm just like, I'd be like texting you, yeah, dude, I'll get there. Yeah, I've actually responded to people before when I was running late. And I said, I'm trying to be respectful. I'm running late. You're to a boss, to somebody who's expecting me, whatever. And I've had somebody text me, when are you going to get here? And I literally went, when you see me. You know, I mean, I'm in traffic on I-20. You know, that's the only reason I could text back. You know, I'm driving. The first two texts got ignored because I'm driving.
Right.
And I didn't realize I had Siri at the time. I could just heard the text and dictated one, but whatever. But when I got to a place I could stop, I like, when you see me. And they didn't like that answer. But I was like, what do you expect here? You know? So I get that. You know, you and I are handling it differently. But I do expect to be on time, and I get freaked out. But it's funny. It's like, as human beings, we blame others for our problems instead of going, what did I do?
Right.
And maybe, I don't know if it would have worked. Well, I can't say I do it all the time, but maybe if you go, what did I do? You go, okay, I came in with the groceries. Oh, there it is. Boom, done.
The moral of the story wasn't that. The moral of my story was that I had done everything else. I'd grabbed stuff out of the truck and put it where it needed to be. Everything was set.
Except the keys.
Well, yeah, but I didn't realize the keys. Sure. Imagine if I hadn't done everything else.
Yeah, well,
and then I was late. Okay, yeah. I'm late. I'm grabbing. And okay, now I'm 13 minutes late. Where are my keys?
Yeah.
So you don't know. You don't know. Take care of your due diligence. You know, consider the negative, and then set up the positive things that are going to move forward with it.
Sure. And there's nothing wrong with what can go wrong. Now, I like this idea of self-fulfilling prophecy that you alluded to earlier, when all you think about what can go wrong.
Right.
You know, yes, I think Murphy's Law is stupid. I think it's from negative-minded, small-minded people. But the Murphy's Law says what can go wrong will go wrong. And that's not true at all. But self-fulfilling prophecy, it's a sticky widget, you know, because it can work both ways, but it doesn't necessarily. So, yeah, if you go... this morning, if you had thought all morning long, man, it's just going to go wrong. If it's just going to, yeah, I just had this feeling. It's just going to be bad. And then you woke up and the keys are there. Then boom, it's bad. And then you know, you got here on time. We, for whatever reason, we got to talking about different things. And I look up and I'd been preparing slightly for the show. So we were ready to go live. And as I'm connecting to the studio, I see a certain color that indicates that the show is going. I'm like, wait. Oh, it's 10:30. You started to talk about something else. I'm like, no, it's 10:30. And you were confused. I'm like, it's 10:30. Like, oh, yeah. And both of us are like, what just happened? We don't know. But we rolled with it. We've done a good show. It hasn't affected our outlook. Self-fulfilling prophecy can work on the positive. You can go, man, I'm going to nail this job. I'll be the greatest at what I do. This and that, and that. But you don't always see the outcome. You know, for over a decade, I've openly called myself the Rock God of podcasting. I've openly said, I'm going to be this big, bad thing that happens. You know, bad being good. You know, this big, amazing thing that happens. And I'm getting there. I've done some tests, but there are definitely times when I'm like, I felt really good about this potential income. And I felt really good and everything. And then it just didn't pan out.
Right.
And don't know why, but self-fulfilling prophecy really maybe is a crutch as well, and a good one, because you need crutches. That's the thing. You need crutches. When you're going through rehab, I had a knee injury, and I had to use crutches to walk for a while.
What do you mean it's a crutch? I know what
it
I
could
know.
Be. If you lean on it too much, it helps you get
I
there.
I know what the term means. What do you mean self-fulfilling prophecy is a crutch?
Because you can say, okay, I can... It's a crutch to help you go from, I'm thinking negative.
Right.
So negative stuff happens, so I'm thinking positive. But eventually we have to let go of the crutches and just walk in our...
So are you saying self-fulfilling prophecy, the concept is lame, or are you saying that...
I didn't say lame. I said it's a crutch. It's something that helps you get to where you need to be, but
eventually
you're
not talking
behind.
About the crutch is a bad thing.
No, the crutch is
okay,
not a bad thing.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, at first it kind of felt like it was a bad thing, but no, you need crutches when you go through rehab. You can't walk without crutches sometimes. I've been there a couple of times in my life. So, you know, there's that. We have got one more section coming up, and we've got an in-between that you can find on patreon.com/successfreaks. We have adjusted our rewards level there and our pledges, so go and check it out. We could use your help. Patreon.com/successfreaks, man. Help us get the word out. Help us grow the show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money, and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back.
I figured you're going to do that. Welcome to On Beyond Success Freaks. We'll go bigger, better, more. And I've got a thought exercise for today for Mr. Mordant and myself. It's something I go through fairly often. Quit strangling the cookie monster. I go through it fairly often myself. But before we do that, Mordant, you like your pen of the level.
Now I have to actually come up with something. And Charles said in the in-between that, you know what, we've been doing our level up all along, and we've been doing that lately.
It feels like we've evolved. That's what I'm saying. As a whole, you and I both have evolved.
But I said I like putting a pen in, hey, this is what my level up was. And I have been saying
this. So if you like it, you better put a pen in it.
Yes, sir, I will. Or put a ring on it, whatever. Mine is take the effort and focus on what you want. Focus on that positive thing of what you want and bring yourself towards that. Sure, you can take a look at the negative just so you're considering this is, you know, how do I avoid this? How do I work around this? But don't dwell on it. Dwell on that thing that you want. If you find yourself saying, well, if you're in a relationship, whether it's a business relationship or an intimate relationship, well, I don't like when they do that. Okay, what do you want? Oh, I want a business partner that treats me like this. Okay, cool. All right, I don't, when I want dinner, I don't want to come home and have there not be any dinner on the table. Okay, I want somebody who will, you know, who is at least part of the time willing to cook for me. And then when I come home from work and the dinner's ready. All right, but you have to make concessions as well. Something that Christy and I do, she cooks. I love the way she cooks. She is my favorite cook. I clean. I hate to clean. I don't like it at all. But it is the price of admission for having these wonderful foods, and it entices her to cook to cook some more. So you have to be willing to give as well. But focus on that positive, that where you want to go. That's something that Charles was saying, I think, in the in-between and otherwise. You know, be the visionary of your life. If you keep, and you remember that. Then let me just put it that way. You are the visionary of your life. If all you're envisioning is the crap that's going on, that's what you're creating. It's what you're co-creating. It's almost like you're sending a prayer to God. You're co-creating with the universe, however you want to phrase it. If that's your vision, your bad life, that's what you're going to get. Start envisioning what you want. Because just like with a child who's, I don't want liver. Okay, but what do you want?
All right, preacher, man, you're starting to summon up again. We're just passing the blessing. That's what we're doing here. But yeah, no, that's a good point. And from our online audience, they said they love the level up. It wraps it up in a short, succinct thing to focus on and gives us a tag, this kind of thing. So that's great. They want it. We'll give it to them. My level up is be like matter. You're always vibrating and flowing no matter what you are. So, yeah, as he did a fake robot vibration move over here. But, you know, the old saying is be like water and flow. Don't be like the robot. No, be like what we understand matter is now. No matter what form you take, you're always vibrating and moving and can change at any moment. So that's my level
up. That's how the law of attraction works, if you believe in that, and I do.
Yeah.
What you're vibrating at, whatever you're vibrating is calling to you something similar. So if all you're focusing on, and again, I'm not saying don't ever, but if all you're focusing on is the bad crap going on in your life, you're going to keep calling that to you. Start focusing on the good. And if you never do that, now's a good time to start practicing.
I'm going to get the organist start playing you out. Because I want to get to this thought exercise. And this is what I think everybody should do. And I know you don't do this particular one. I don't believe you do because of your stance on the subject matter. But something my wife and I go through every couple of months or so. Is
human sacrifice.
I've had more than four kids. No. It's, and we do play the lottery from time to time, but if you get X amount of money from the lottery, how would you spend it? And I think that helps you with that whole budgetary mindset of how do you spend money now? Because if you're going, oh, I do this, this, and that, and your life is opposite, no, you wouldn't. And you're lying, and the universe knows you're lying. So the thought process is, the thought exercise is mordant. You get, after taxes, after everything, you get $30 million from, you could call it inheritance if it bothers you about the lottery.
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
But
no.
You get this windfall of $30 million. What do you do that would be different than your life? And what do you do that actually just amplifies your life?
Now, here's an interesting thing. Remember when there was almost $1 billion in the lottery?
Mm-hmm.
I played it. I got, yeah. I forget how much I got, but
I'm glad you're not a hypocrite anymore. Because you used to, when I first met you, like, the lottery is the fool's tax. And then when it got up to a lot of money, you'd play it anyway. I'm like, dude, what are you, that's BS, man.
You know what it is?
But you don't do that anymore.
No, I was a fool, though. But I played, you know, and there was a part of me, and I did this. I played it. But there was a part of me that goes, okay, let's say you win the lottery. Then what? And then it was like, I don't know that I want to win. Because it would completely change who I was.
Oh yeah, you stood on that for a long time.
It would completely change who I was. I you know, the driving force of a lot of what I do is, you know, to be able to overcome challenges. A lot of those challenges would be wiped away.
Yeah, that was your hang up.
I would find other challenges. There would be different things that'd be more personal life things. It's like, okay, what great thing do you want to do in the world?
Okay, I didn't want to just jump in and interrupt you, but that plays into the words and the way you think about things exactly. Even though we're not answering the question that I wanted to go through, it brings up the point of you believe, to some extent, I think it might have lessened, but you still believe you have to have this challenge, almost a negative challenge, to overcome, to learn something about your life. That's what you believe. So yes, even though you got a windfall of income, you would still attract more challenges instead of everything flowing freely.
Well, not necessarily bad challenges, but most
hardship.
Most lottery winners go broke within 5 years.
Because
it's a different kind of, you know. Then the challenge is, who am I going to be with this amount of money? You know, I've heard how much money you have being called a thermostat. You know, you're used to a certain temperature. I'm used to making this much money a month. Or this much money a year. You throw me a lot of money. If I can't get used to it, I'm going to go back to what my thermostat is set at.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like training yourself to be able to do. I would become a very different person. Trying to fit it into my life now wouldn't work. because it's too much money for my little life.
See, I would see these are bad, and that's fine. If you're intentionally saying these things because of where you want to stay, that's fine. I want to argue with you slightly and argue with Laura DePooter, who says there are many lotto winners who wish they could go back. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's like alcohol. Alcohol does not change you. It doesn't turn a nice guy into a monster. It turns up the volume on who you are.
Yes.
Or in this case with money, it can turn up the volume on who you are, but it also adds a whole other layer that people don't understand. It turns up the volume on how you do things as well.
Right.
And yes, those can play in, but it is two factors that it turns up. So yes, many lottery winners are going, man, this money will just make my life better. When they're, I'm just making this up, when they're living in a single wide trailer in a trailer park, and instead of going Dave Ramsey's route and being smart about the money and managing things, just because you live in a trailer park doesn't mean you're ignorant about money. It may mean you don't have enough money. You can still be smart about it. But we, for the generic outcome, apparently the last people on earth we can make fun of is white rednecks, so I'm going to take it until they make that PC too. But no, it's that mindset of, I'd rather buy fancy nails. This is her experiences in my life. I'd rather buy fancy nails for myself and $2 Coca-Colas from the corner store than get my child formula. And I've seen that, you know, because baby formula is expensive. Oh, I can't afford baby formula. Then why are you drinking that $2 bottle of Coke and the high-end cigarettes, not the cheap cigarettes, high-end cigarettes, with your hair did and your nails did and everything else? That's the kind of mindset that goes, oh, they get a landfall or windfall of money? Of course they're going to go broke because they don't know how to manage it. And who they are is who they are. And I think for you, if you got a large amount of money,
well, you know,
you would still be who you are.
There's a difference between $30 million and $1 billion.
Well,
$30 million, I can wrap my brain around. I can do. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. But it doesn't mean that I'll do it perfectly. I'm not, you know, not challenging the universe. Oh yeah, prove me wrong. But that might not be a bad thing. The thing is, here's an interesting point that I think. I think we would do retirement better certainly than my father did. Because he went into retirement.
I hope so.
Yeah, he went into retirement and found this very, very busy man with many people underneath him. He was in the State Department, then owned a small ranch with chickens and cows and stuff like that, and wound up, you know, fishing and drinking a lot, and the alcoholism kicked in and all that. Whenever I talk to people who are looking forward to retirement, I'm like, find something to do. Have something to do that you are passionate about. Whether you wanted, you know, for us it's podcasting or whatever, just something or help with something out there, something that you feel strongly about, that you want to volunteer your time with. Don't just sit at home and do nothing. The reason I think we would do better with, you know, a windfall of money, because we would start looking for projects to invest our time in.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And this is why you do the exercise. And we don't have time now. We're running out of time. And maybe we'll do it on another show, or you go back and do it in your personal life, you know, however you want to do it. But what Aaron and I do is we literally talk through, okay, let's get past all the stuff you and I just talked about.
Right.
You know, we've gone past that. We jump into the exercise now of, all right, we have the money. What do we do? And we learned from going from the dreams of, oh, we traveled to, okay, let's look at our real life budget right now. Let's look at our debt. We're going to pay off our debt. What would that take? We're going to start planning our death house, is what we call it. We want to build a house as best possible to live in it until I don't think I'm going to die, but that's a whole nother show. But until the end, okay? And we call it the death house. So it's like we one last house to live in, period. And we start talking about those things. But we look at, well, what we want to support this charity. We do, well, we already do this on this minuscule level. That so what we started implementing before, it was just dreams. Okay, this is just dreams. That's not who we are. What would we do? Let's look at our lives.
Right.
Then we went from, okay, this is our lives now, to what do we want to do? And many years ago, I started saying money is freedom. Literally, to me, money is freedom. I don't want to be rich because I'm going to be rich and famous and jet set. That's going to be fun. And I said, that's going to be fun. Because it's going to happen. I say, money is freedom. If I feel like thinking about everyday life is chaining me down as a visionary. I can't get us to that next level because I'm still stressing about, what do I have to do this week to make ends meet? If I never have to worry about making ends meet, I have somebody smart, I attract the person who will look after my best interest. I stay involved knowing, every month, where's my money going? What's coming in? Where's it going? Because you never just let go of finances. That's how people fall into the trap of embezzlement and those kind of things. My brother-in-law took home, whatever. You know, not my brother-in-law, but that's the TV thing of I let my brother-in-law be the accountant, and he ended up stealing all my money. MC Hammer, you know, went broke, not because he was an idiot, but because he took his hands off his money.
Right.
And let other people fully manage. Anyway, my point is, and I will let you say something for sure.
I doubt
the exercise, but the exercise is, in reality, based off of what I do now, what would I do with that? And once you can start getting your life lined up with that, I think it helps.
It's always interesting to hear people too. And I always do the face the face palm thing with the first thing they say. Well, I'm gonna pay off all my bills. Yeah, of course, yes. And then what? Well, then I'm gonna go. You know, the pay off the bills. That's a given. But, you know, when you're talking about millions of dollars versus your bills, you probably got tens of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, yes, you're going to do that. Okay, well, then I'm going to take a trip. Okay, and then what? And then I'm going to do this. Okay, and then what? And then what? You've taken all the trips, once you've done all the other things, once you've done all these things to the point where you're like, okay, this is kind of old for me, what are you going to do then? Are you going to go and get bankrupt again? Because then at least you have that challenge. Or do you have something, you know, don't do your finger in the air when you talk to all over our time.
We have to wrap it up.
I don't care. If I had all the time in the world. No, the thing is, get past all the, well, I'll take this trip and I'll do that. And then figure out, what do you want to do in this life? And if you're like, well, I would help out the blah, 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 you know, whatever it is, help free kittens in China. I don't know, whatever it is. If that's the case, you can begin working towards that now.
I agree.
And do that.
And so, we can talk more in the after.
Talk more in the after. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to this very interesting podcast. It has been interesting for me, and I'm sure it has for you. This has been R. Mordant Mon.
And I'm Charles McFall. Going, sometimes there's just not enough coffee in the world to get through some of our conversations. But we do it anyway.
Ciao, success freaks. Boom, baby.